Good morning and welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're all here with us this morning to celebrate together our risen Lord. Please take time to sign that the friendship pads that you'll find in the inside pew and pass them down the pew so that we may greet you by name following this worship service. And all of us are invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the worship service. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we pray and hope that you will share some information with us and make yourself known to us as you leave the sanctuary this morning and join with us in fellowship. We are delighted this morning to have a rosebud welcoming Elijah Adam Adwarka. Mercy and Richard, Mercy Jumpo's new baby, born yesterday morning to grandparents, Philip and Leticia. So we are delighted to have this rosebud, and we certainly pray for Richard as he is in Ghana in these days. We will do it right before the call to worship, okay? We will have our introit. We will, so it's okay. It's okay. Want to say a big thank you for all who helped yesterday with the Easter egg dyeing and hunt with the Nurture Committee. It was a wonderful celebration with our youngest members at hearing the Easter message there as well. This week on Tuesday, there will be a special meeting at 7 o'clock Tuesday evening on the issue of marriage equality, and we encourage people who are on all sides of this issue to come together to see what has happened, what is happening, what the core of the issue is, and the efforts that are underway right now in changing the laws around that. Are there other announcements this morning as we worship together? Let us be called to worship this morning by our introit. Alleluia and amen. Let us continue our worship as we rise to sing Because You Live, O Christ, hymn number 105 in the large Presbyterian hymnal. Out of God's great love for us, God calls us to confess our sin, to remember that we were saved at great price, God's own life and Son. With open hearts, let us come to God first in silence, then praying together. Gracious God, you have walked patiently with us throughout our Lenten journey. You have celebrated our successes and our growing understanding of your love, and you have mourned our failures and rejections of your healing mercies. This day, as we have gathered to celebrate the joy of Easter, let us remember that we are to become Easter people, people of the resurrection, people who know that what was thought to be impossible has been conquered. Forgive our stubbornness and fears. Fill us with your healing love and help us to become the disciples that you need to serve in this world. For we ask this in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, verse 5 of O Love, How Deep, How Broad, How High, number 83 in the large hymnal. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. God is love. And in God's perfect love, we are a forgiven people, freed to the life abundant that God has provided. Amen.
Now it's time to share our joys and concerns together as a resurrected Church of Jesus Christ.
I got a phone call last week from my mom saying that my dad has cancer, colon cancer, and so he had to have emergency surgery last week. And so I appreciate your prayers. His name is Sam, and he's going to be going into chemotherapy now, so thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Bill Sears, who is the father of my sister-in-law. He was hospitalized for congestive heart failure about 2 weeks ago, and though he was released, and he seems to be in pretty good health right now, there's not much more they can do for him. His heart is very weak right now. He's 89 years old and has lived a very good life, but we just want prayers for the family and for him.
I have a joy that even though I'm not with my family, my biological family, I have a joy that I will be spending Easter with, as I call her, my mom, my adopted mom, Julie, for Easter. And I also have a joy that Clarence is back at church with me, and we call him Ray, and that's a joy because, you know, we want to share in the same, you know, things, the good things, and I'm just really grateful to everybody that's been there for me through this year. Thank you.
I want to ask everybody for their prayers for Hugo, who has had a severe asthma outbreak, and we're trying to do everything we can to keep him out of the hospital. So far, so good. I think the jelly beans this morning have helped him over the hump, but he's in pretty bad shape.
I ask for continued prayers for Walter. He keeps having little pains and things going wrong, and he, you know, doesn't feel great about it.
Brooke won't tell you, but we would appreciate your prayers for him on Friday. He's going to have a hernia surgery, minor surgery.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. Father, I tell you thank you, Lord. I tell you thank you for your grace I still living. Jesus. I tell you thank you to cover me with your blood. Father, I tell the members thank you for their prayer, for their support. Present everybody to you. Father, you are good God. You are merciful God. Father, we present ourselves to you to come out. We see another year and year. Take our engine then from our side. Let it cover up. Present all everybody to you. My children, my Kelsey children, pastor, the members, the doctors. Thank you. But I tell you, thank you for your mercy. Why still living? Because for your power, I live. That's not my power. Father, I can't pay you the thing you do for me. I just praise you every day because of the one you want. I praise you, Father. Now surrender myself to you again to give me more year, more year, more year to mind my children for Christ's sake.
I will ask for prayer to thank God for Stacy kept the baby until now, so that's good. And the other prayer is to hopefully hold on this baby until next Sunday. So please pray for us. Beyond Sunday. Yes, beyond Sunday.
We want to lift up prayers as well for Terry Owusu, who is in the hospital this week, and for those who are named and unnamed in our midst that need our special prayers this day. Let us pray. In life and in death, O God, we belong to you, and we are ever reminded in this season of the gift of life, even in the midst of death, of the gift of life in each day. We give thanks for resurrection power in this time, for the reminder that death does not have the final word, that your light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. We celebrate this day the joys of our lives, for the reminder that Beatrice gives us that we should be grateful and joyful for life of each day in you. We pray in thanksgiving for the healings of those who have experienced healings in this week, for families that surround one another in love, for people who become family one to another. We thank you for those who are back in our midst again this Easter Sunday and pray that you would continue to work in their lives as they reach out and reconnect as we together are one family of faith. We give thanks this day for the birth of Elijah to Mercy and Richard. May they and their family be ever surrounded by love in this time of new beginnings. We pray for all those in the final stages of pregnancy awaiting the wonder and promise of new birth, for Stacy and Medhat, for Irene and Ryan, for those that are in our midst. We pray, O Lord, this day for families in all times and places impacted by decision making at the federal level, the state level, families impacted by decisions that we make. Help us all to live into the love and justice that you lived on this earth, that even death cannot destroy. We pray, O Lord, for those who are facing challenges of life and health and spirit, challenges which prevent them from being here in the midst of this community to celebrate this Easter power. We pray your healing in ways we can scarcely envision. May they ever place their hope and trust in you, for you are ever near. We pray this day for Brian's father, Sam, for Terry and Nicholas, for Carmen, for Will Sears, for Hugo, for Walter, for Brooke as he anticipates surgery. We pray, O Lord, this day for those named and unnamed in our hearts. We remember, O God, this day, particularly at Easter, those who have gone to live with you before us, and live continuing in our hearts forever. We pray, O God, for your church, that we might be disciples of your way alone, joyous in spirit, ready to serve, united in purpose to live as you call forth your witness. We thank you for all those who have come to this community of faith, giving of themselves over so many years and sometimes even just a short time, for we are all bonded together in that love. We give thanks for those you are joining with us in these days. Make us bold in our faith always and trust as we walk in the prayer that you taught us to pray. Let us trust always, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for children to come forward. Can you please come forward? Children. Okay, today we're going to play a little game, but we are not going to run far away from here, just in this area, okay? Okay, so we want to keep it as it is. So, can you find the biggest Holy Bible in this place? Where's the biggest one? Can you find her? Where?
There?
Can you see it? Where's the biggest Holy Bible here?
Where?
Right there? Okay. Can you reach it? If you stand, can you reach it? So if it's here, okay, you can't reach it. So you need help. You need somebody's taller, maybe to help you. And just hold it and show it to you. Okay? And it's heavy too. So you can't do it by yourself. But maybe together we can hold it. And we can learn about what's inside this Bible. I don't know. You know, sometimes we don't know things, unfortunately. But today our story is about a lady. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And she was looking for somebody. Do you know who she was looking for? Jesus. She was looking for Jesus. And she was really sad. And she was really wandering around. And she was crying and can't look and can't see good what's really going around her. When I asked you, where is the Bible? The first thing you just what? You looked around to try to find. Where is the biggest Bible? There is one here, but it's not the biggest one. So the first thing is sometimes is to look around and try to see what's around us, what's behind me, what's in front of me. And Mary Magdalene, on that day when she was really sad and crying, suddenly looked behind her and find Jesus. The other thing is sometimes we cannot do everything by ourselves. Like if we try to carry this baptismal thing, it's very heavy. We can't. We need many people to come and help us to do it together. So the other thing Mary Magdalene learned in this story is to work out other things with other apostles by name Peter and John. And the three of them were struggling and wondering and looking around, where is Jesus? What happened to Jesus? Everybody's talking and wondering and concerned. But together, they support each other. They can understand. They can say, do not be afraid because we are here together. And because Jesus told us, I will never leave you alone. I will be with you all the time. And this is today. We are happy today to be on Easter Day to know Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is not only far away in Jerusalem or in another country. Jesus is here with us. At home, with my parents, with the people we like God to be with. Okay? So today we're going, God help us to look around, to learn, and to find you in our life and in our family. Okay, let's pray together. We thank you, God, because you promised us, you gave us a family where we can find you. We thank you for the Holy Bible because even if we can't read, but other people teach us and help us to know how much you loved us and how much you are here with us. And we ask you to bless our family and make everybody happy like us and to wipe other kids who are not happy on a precious day like that and help them to be happy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. And it's also projected. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in the plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, your ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The second reading is from the New Testament, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to him, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying where the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus has been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am descending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Then speak to God.
Happy Easter, and I'm happy to be here with you. This is my first Easter at PBC, and I'm glad to share this moment with you where we can understand what that means to have and think about Christ as a risen among us, as a people of faith, and as a Presbyterian church. Today our reading came from the Gospel of John, where I really have more bias to Gospel of John more than the others. And I have to tell you why. As a Middle Eastern, grew up in Egypt with a Muslim majority, John was the closest gospel to the Sufis and to the Muslims to understand our faith. So we'd have no problem with our faith as Christ being born, but the main hard part is when we comes to a conversation with our brother and sister who are Muslims when it comes to crucifixion and resurrection. And it's very hard, and I have to tell you, it was sometimes we have to put conversation away and say, let's stay friends and just forget this conversation. And we have to do it this way. But one day I found out about that actually the Sufis, Muslim, developed the reading for John. And I asked them, why do you read John? And it's like the rest of the gospel. And they said, because the language of the gospel of John is closer to us as we believe in the word, the capital W. We believe in a connection with God, special connection behind any understanding. And the big word for them and us is the mystery. And today we see John start his gospel talking about the eternal word became flesh and dwelling among us. And this is an untraditional beginning. If you go back and read the rest of the gospels, none of them start their gospel the way John did. And it seems like John was having an idea, trying to tell us, God of resurrection, God of love, on the first day, he's the same God, seems hopeless and powerless on the cross. He is the same God we can see on the after resurrection. Ending his gospel about the risen Christ to say, Christ is undivided. You cannot just take God as stations. If you want to understand God's love, you have to see the whole message from the day one, from the incarnation, and in the whole process. In the gospel, there is no actually clarification about how Christ was raised. And for somebody like me, I wished really I can tell my brothers and sisters who are Muslims how Christ was raised. But it seems the writer of the gospel weren't concerned about the dynamic, the mechanic of how Christ was raised. More than sharing, as like the rest of the early Christian, how to prove we believe that. We experience that. And the key word, as the Mary Magdalene said in the end of our reading today, I have seen the Lord. Many people can debate and talk about many things, but not everybody can experience what we really can go through as individual. It's an empty tomb. Maybe we have no rational explanation for that. We have no enough scientific explanation for that. But that's what we believe. Somebody touched me. Somebody changed my life. And I wonder about why Jesus did not appear to everybody after resurrection. At least to prove to other people or to his enemy, he is more powerful. He wasn't the same guy they saw on the Good Friday. He wasn't the same guy they saw him dead and powerless on the cross. Why didn't he make it public? Why didn't he go to these people to invade their thrones and tell them how powerful he is? And I don't know. But maybe because the resurrection is about personal witness and is about personal belief. It's not about propaganda. It's not about to shame the others. It's not about to make the people who are not believing the same way we believe, they are less, but they didn't experience what we are going through. On every Easter, we read from the four Gospels about the resurrection, and in every Gospels, we can see many different aspects of the same event. But one theme we cannot ignore in John, how he was really advocate for the woman rule in his Gospel. In his Gospel, his emphasis is very clear and unavoidable. We see in the second chapter the role of the mother of Jesus Christ in the wedding at Cana, as encouraging Christ to do the miracle. And in the second scene of a woman in his Gospel is the good the Samaritan woman in chapter 4. And in John 11, the story, as we heard from Pastor Chris last week, about Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And today, we reach the top of one of another woman hero in Gospels of John, one of the whole Christian faith hero, the first messenger of the good news, the first disciples, Mary Magdalene. If Mary Magdalene, the first one after resurrection, I would say the Samaritan woman was the first one in the beginning, on a day one of Jesus' ministry. We need to remember and to thank John, the writer of this gospel, about his courage to tell us about this woman and to bring her to the light. John took risk to say something that is in conflict with the tradition and the culture at the same time. And I can't even believe, even today in the Middle East, somebody can speak in the same way John told us about this lady. That's why I feel closer to him, and I feel he is really the voice of love and justice, not only for the people around him, but even for the people the community is not really trying to give them what they deserve. He is the only gospel that mentioned Mary Magdalene in details. The rest of the gospels will talk about Mary Magdalene as part of the group or how she was healed by Christ, many things, but not really in the center of the event. And today, we see Mary Magdalene as really somebody who believed in Jesus Christ. It seems like John forgot who she was by her gender, or even who she was by her background, as a lot of stories inside and outside the Bible is telling us this is not a good lady with a good history, at least. And this is why she was a very rich character for a lot of fictions and a lot of things to be written around her. But another thing, and this happened among the followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples, I think it takes a long, long time to change people's mind about somebody or about something. And I think John was lucky enough to live longer, to be wiser. As we know, he was the oldest one. And he was the one who wrote the last gospel. So maybe he was lucky enough to see this lady through life and through witnessing her more day by day. And and this lady proved to him and to others how she was really changed and deeply committed to Christ's mission. Today, and through what John told us, we believe her commitment was on the day one when she went to the tomb. Her commitment to Christ was clear when she went to the tomb in the dark time, the time just before the daylight coming through. And just remember, she's a woman 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, being in the middle of the night, just going out to find something. She's very vulnerable, first for her gender, and above, she's not a woman with a good fame among the society. But she forgot all these things because she went to the tomb to say, at least I want to honor the dead body. I want to protect the dead body. And her belief was like anybody of us. She was rational. And I think she really went through the whole process of grieving. She did. She cried. She admitted. And she was acting. She accepted Jesus is dead. She's going now to the tomb, not expecting Jesus being resurrected. She's going to the tomb to do what she can. And even with her human expectation, went there. And Jesus didn't say something bad because she was thinking like a normal people, like a human being. If somebody's dead, it's dead. If somebody in a tomb, that's it. But even when our belief and our hope can be really closed and and trapped in a box, still God working with our limited belief. Even when she was driven by her feelings, grief, loss, but also with some respect and love for this man who changed her life. For the man who told her, you do not to believe in yourself in the way you are. You do need to live in the shame and hate to yourself all this way. I do not need anything from you, Mary Magdalene. I need your heart. And maybe that was another chance for her to meet with herself. There is somebody could be different. And the resurrection today is about really being different. Being positive. And understand people struggle when they go through grief and loss. And provide love and care for them. Today Jesus is telling her, you are the one who will carry my message to my brothers. Go and tell them. And I heard it in my biased ears. Jesus saying, you are the oldest sister for all these people. You are the one looking after them. You are the one who really understand when they go through a struggle because you have been there. You are the one who have been there when people blamed you and never gave you any chance to turn around and change and get better. You know that. You know this feeling. And here is the resurrection, is to turn around and to leave the old characters and start new. And I think the message today of the resurrection, everybody can say, Jesus is risen today. All the Christian world today is seeing Christ is risen. But not everybody can say, I have seen the Lord. And maybe if you can, or if I can answer this question and say, I have seen the Lord. We need to take the resurrection outside the tomb of our characters, the tomb of our limited belief, and the tomb of our selfishness, and take it out to share it with people. If God took us away from the grief and the loss to enjoy the love and the joy, we cannot just keep it for ourselves. We cannot just hold a cab on this candle where no light will come out of it. Keep ourselves is really lightened by the God Spirit and provide light for others. And today, as we see, Jesus Christ didn't make the resurrection public because he's not interested in invading us. He's interested in a real relationship with us. He's interested in a real people who can move from one question to maybe a deeper question. From maybe one hopeless, maybe another. But in the end, he will never leave us alone for our feeling and for our negative thoughts. So the resurrection today is to experience God is with us in our journey in the time of loss and gain, in the time of sorrow and joy. When we start something and when we are close to end something, in many questions and wonders and no answers, or even in the answer sometimes. The resurrection is the spirit that can follow us when it's during the daylight and even when it's very dark at night. The resurrection that can remind us we can be both the people of logic and reason and the people of mystery and miracles. Every Christian today can say Christ is risen, but as I said, not everybody can say, I have seen the Lord. And if you have seen the Lord, go out and share the good news through justice and love for everybody. Happy Easter.
Please rise and join me in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We give God that which God has given so richly to us. With grateful hearts, let us come offering our tithes and our gifts this Easter morning. Great and gracious God, we give you thanks that we have seen you, that we may celebrate the richness of a life that is lived in you and with one another. As we dedicate these gifts this day, we seek your blessings upon them, that they may reach far and wide to further your will and way in the world. Bless all these gifts given in this season of one great hour of sharing, that we may be ever joined closely to the world you have loved, the world you have redeemed, and that we might live in you always. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Easter. Thank you. Easter. Thanks for the flowers. It's great.
Singing, it was what? Run, run, run.